Ted has the floor. Ted, you are recognized.
I'm sorry, I had you on mute. Let me make a bunch of quick statements, and then, Les, I'd appreciate it if you would respond to them without me going back and forth with you. But if you want to interrupt me, that's okay, too. Regarding talk shows, it says, you said earlier that Pacifica stands for freedom of speech, and to tell people that they cannot call in talk shows because they're running for the local station board, I think, compromises that dramatically. I think that since all candidates can call into all shows, I heard Mary say earlier, what happens if they have a distinct voice? So are we going to discriminate against those people who have distinct voices and not anybody else? I just think, you know, all talk shows are open to everybody, and everybody should be allowed to call in. Regarding volunteer time, one of the issues that I think needs to be addressed is the service on committees. A lot of our committee meetings are not being held on the property of the station. And if somebody shows up for a committee meeting and is there from beginning to end in the minutes of that meeting, say that the meeting started at 7 and ended at 10, and probably it should say when someone, if they did not attend the entire meeting, when they arrived and when they left, if those minutes validate that a person has put in 3 hours in a year, they should be able to become a member of the foundation based on minutes, not signing some log book. Steve Brown.
That's actually in the bylaws, so yeah.
Well, it's set, the procedure is not set in the bylaws.
But,
it just
but there's
says
no
volunteer
procedure.
Time.
Yeah.
Huh?
The procedure is not set, but the idea that the committees of LSB are considered volunteer time, that's in the bylaws. You're right. The procedures are not there.
Right. So we need to be able to say that the minutes should include the time the meeting started, the time the meeting ended, and who attended, and if people did not attend for the entire meeting, when they did arrive and when they did leave, so that the ascertainment of the 3 hours can be established. It's not rocket science. It just has to be done. Steve Brown has just put out an email highly critical of a group in New York that is apparently sending out a mailing to the entire membership, and I think there are a lot of things in that document that I don't think you in California are in a position to handle in a, this is going to probably require a serious hearing, and he's asking that all of the candidates from this particular team be thrown out as candidates because of certain allegations, which that's going to be a tough one for you, and I don't know how you're going to deal with that, nor do I think you should deal with it on your own, but I don't know what procedure is in place. Last two. On the idea of somebody running for a local station board as a listener and then being becoming a staff member, if that gets out of control, if general managers or program directors start putting all of the LSB members on the air with shows, it might start looking like payola, and it might end up with us not having any listeners on these boards, but a board completely made up of staff members, and I think that could really corrupt the foundation and this whole process. I think you need to really throw that open for this body to discuss seriously. The last thing is I wanted to ask you if you would address the communist issue here in Houston and how you ruled on it.
I'll start with the last issue first. I've already made a ruling on it, and I said that the programmer, if those comments that I was sent are correct, will be removed from the air until December 15th. End of story. On the ideas that someone runs as a listener and then a staff, I think we have to go back to the bylaws. There are many things wrong with it. There are now four categories of staff members. Things are much less clear than I thought they were. This has also been ignored. I don't even know who paid staff member is. The paid staff list at the different stations are very large, and we did dedupe those. In other words, I made sure that there are not there are many people who are paid staff, unpaid staff, and listeners, and we did dedupe much of that. But some of it I didn't, because it's unclear what a paid staff person is. If a paid staff person, you know, works for 1 month, they're put on the paid staff list by the Pacific Foundation. I don't know if you know that. So
I'm
that's
talking
part
about
of the
I'm talking about volunteer staff. Somebody running.
Okay. Okay. I'm answering too much. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, as it now stands, if a person runs as a listener and then, while they're on the board, becomes part of staff, they fill out their term as a listener. I think you're raising a problem. The problem is real. I think it should be looked at.
Okay.
The Steve Brown issue, that's my decision and my call. I will look at it. The volunteer time on the committees, I've already said that, you know, that has to be, that's a procedure. I think mostly it's a question of making sure that the local station boards are aware of this particular problem. And the question that you raised about the freedom of speech, if a person calls in at this point, and this is contrary to what Mary said, this is what we used the first time because I got those questions in earlier elections. If a person calls in, they don't use their name, we haven't penalized them. I feel very uncomfortable with that position. I don't like it, but that's what I'm doing, is at this point ignoring that particular thing. If a person gives their name and the person who's on staff understands that, they should have a list of names of people calling in. They should stop right there and simply say, go on to the next person.
I think this one has to really be discussed by this committee. This isn't really this is going to be an issue for every campaign, and it really is outside of your purview. It's the national board, and the bylaws maybe need to address this. Would you agree with that, that it's really beyond your purview, beyond this?
Well,
election?
It has to be in my purview, but it is a gray area that should be looked at by more than one person.
Would it be this committee and the national board? That's what I think.
Well, it has to be ultimately the national board that re-looks at these bylaws and changes things. I mean, there are some simple things like, local election supervisors preparing the ballot. I mean, they have nothing to do with preparing the ballot. I prepare the ballot. But yet the bylaws say the local election supervisors prepare the ballot. I mean, that's sort of silly because that means you're going to have five elections done under very different conditions. And So there are contradictions in the bylaws that we didn't think about, many of them.
I thank you for your answers.
Richard has the floor.
Two things. One, I don't know, are there any rules available now? Let me give you the scenario. As far as I can tell, and I've talked to a bunch of people, there were some people in my the beginning of this meeting, which is why I came on late, and most of them are KPFA listeners, and they all said, gee, we haven't heard anything about the election in the last couple of weeks on the air. Are they violating any rules at this point by doing that? I mean, it's almost like there's a gag rule.
Traditionally, during fundraiser, most carts are removed. This is why the election should not take place at this time. It is taking place at this time, and at KPFA, you're right. There are no carts running. There's some announcements periodically. People like Bensky's having Tracy on to talk about the election. There are some things. One of the conditions here is that generally, during fundraisers, you remove almost all these community carts. As you know, at KPFA, they don't run the community carts at all. And so to struggle at that point with the staff to have this done basically means having an antagonistic relationship with them, which will further antagonize them when the fund drive is over. And given the problems that we've had, it's a question of how far you push these things. Do I have any power to force people to run carts? The answer is no, I don't. Most of the stuff that we're doing in terms of candidate statements, carts, etc., came from our first couple of elections here where we were trying to figure out the best way to do this. But it's not like this is formally in the bylaws or anything. It's just sort of, again, moral suasion.
Yeah, well, it just seems as if, you know, I mean, to the people I was speaking to tonight, they were going, well, how come nobody's saying anything about it? I mean, is there really an election? That was a comment several people.
Yeah, and I will say in general, because this comes up over and over on this committee, in general, if we talk about the democratic process, there is more opposition this time than I've ever seen. And in some cases, as I said, like in Houston, where one of the programmers actually tells people not to vote, this is and there are many, many people who are withdrawing from the staff from this process, not advocating anything about the election at all. And I found it much, much harder working even with KPFA than I've done in the past.
Interesting. One last thing. On your comment about people switching criteria, I don't have the time and energy to do it at the moment, but I do believe that your analysis of that is wrong legally, and if you run into a circumstance, I will show you in the bylaws where if you interpret intent, I think it's pretty clear that when somebody stops working, like so let's say a person's a staff LSB member, and they stop working.
Right.
According to the bylaws, they're no longer a member of the foundation anymore.
Yeah. You and I will work that out because we've done it before. Show me that. That'll convince me.
I will. But not unless you have a need for it, because I'm...
Of course I have a need for it. This is actually... I am up to my earballs in trying to decipher the difference between staff, paid staff, listeners, etc. I made some arbitrary rulings on this. For example, all community service people who are considered unpaid staff, I removed from the paid staff list.
All right. Well, I know I just meant if you have actual cases in front of you that require that, I could write something up for you. If you don't, then, you know, I'll wait till take it up here.
Okay.
But if you actually have an actual situation, you know, then I'll stay up till 3 a.m. and write it up for you.
Yeah, not.
I think if you look at the criteria for membership and the criteria for being staff and the criteria for being elected and then the general practice of what that means throughout our country and states and cities, I think any court would say, hey, you know, if you're a congressperson from California, you move to Illinois and actually change your residence address, you can't continue to be a representative of that state because you're not there anymore.
By the way, before the night is over, I do have to do a quick check with this mailing because there are some final things that I don't know how much longer this is going to go.
We have two people on the stack.
Okay.
Richard, have your questions been responded to?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you.
Then Serene has the floor. And after her will be Mary, and that will complete the stack.
I'm sorry, am I next?
Yes, go ahead, Serene.
Okay. Couple of things. I'm not going to ask you to repeat the gift thing because I think you did, and I lost you then too. I'll try to reach you about that tomorrow. Question about the now: is there a requirement? I know that in the first election, a slate here in New York sent out their mailing without a disclaimer. And the disclaimer indicating that it was not a Pacifica communication, that this was a private mailing, and so forth. Is there, in fact, has everyone who's asked for access to the mailing list been advised that they must have such a disclaimer on their correspondence?
Nope.
Yes?
No. As a matter of fact,
okay.
If up to this point, if people had mailings, they have mailings. A copy goes to the general manager, and that's it. It's not really vetted to see whether it's proper or not.
Well, no, I'm not talking about the content of their mailing. I'm talking about a clear message to the listener who's going to receive this mailing by virtue of them.
I understand. Yeah.
So how is someone receiving a mailing from X Slate, which is precisely what happened here, to know that it wasn't related to the ballot that they were receiving at about the same time. Well, that it was related, but it certainly wasn't a communication from the station or from the network.
Yeah, that's a good point, and I'm going to make a ruling that from now on that's done. But it hasn't been a ruling in the past.
Has anyone accessed our mailing list thus far this campaign?
Yes, several people, several groups, yes.
Not requested it, but actually utilized it.
Utilized it, yes.
I think that's really bad.
Yes.
You know, just for the record. That
I agree.
Should have been,
That's something that should have been stated. That, yeah, you're right.
Second, with regard
sleep
to
at the wheel.
With regard to the gift membership situation, just not to revisit the whole issue, but I remember at one point on this call getting a report from the chair that there were maybe 16 or 19 or something, but she said it was a very small number. I don't, you know, it was one of those verbal reports during the call, so I don't have anything in writing about it. So I'm just wondering what happened to that figure. Or if you have any information about that at all.
No.
Oh, may I clarify that, Carolyn Burton? That
when
was
I'm
for KPFK.
I'm sorry. Hello.
Oh, sorry. Mm-hmm. Don White can clarify that. Thank
with
you.
Regard, I'm sorry. I'd really appreciate if you wouldn't interrupt me. I had to wait for my questions, and I would appreciate it if everyone else would do the same. With regard to whether or not GMs and PDs and anyone else who works for the station understand their role in the process, I have many times raised the fact that for people who weren't deeply involved in the bylaws process, which is, in most cases, most of the listeners and most of the staff, they don't have a clear understanding of just how they, what it is they're supposed to do and when and what the impact of that is. And it seems to me that rather than being punitive in the approach, because I listened to part of the PND meeting a couple of weekends ago, and without there ever having been this step of sort of educating the staff about the change in their jobs because of the bylaws, it seems to me that we immediately went to the stage of, you know, of punishing people. And I don't think that that's, I think you can get a response from someone, but you don't build relationships that way. But so I would ask this committee once again to begin the process of explaining, you know, perhaps in coordination with the governance committee. Many of the issues raised tonight seem to me to be much more governance issues than elections issues, at any rate, arguably, that you know, maybe those two groups can actually work together to come up with a short list of ways in which your job, you know, as a staff person, has changed and the expectations have changed and what the implications are for some of the things that change the way you work and increase your workload, but no one's ever explained to you, besides, you better do this or else, because there actually have been board members in various listing areas that have threatened staff. In one area, someone actually became physically aggressive with staff people. And so I think under those conditions, aside from what many of the board meetings sort of, you know, have come to, that it's not confusing to many why people don't want to become more involved. So, you know, I don't know what kind of education process takes place, and I don't know what kind of education takes place in the various listening areas of the people who are coming to do the work as election supervisors, who themselves haven't been immersed in the inner politics of their stations or Pacifica in general. But maybe, I don't know, is there a plan in your report to sort of review how you made the selection and how you train people and that sort of thing, so we can understand where in some areas, you know, some things actually do get done and in other areas they don't?
I think that's a good idea. I mean, I certainly think so. I think that it's very difficult doing, you know, the problem is it's a very complex, it really is a complex job involving some technical things, some people skills, understanding something about radio. And we do have some guidelines in terms of how things were done in the past, almost all of the local election supervisors kept saying this should be a year-round job because, you know, there's so much to learn, there's so much outreach to do, there's so many different tasks here, and for the first month, they're simply trying to get accepted by somebody in the station. They don't even have, you know, a person in the station that works with them. It's
right.
Difficult.
Another point I wanted to raise, and I know you're saying that if people call in but they don't identify themselves, that that's fine, candidates. But there's a candidate in New York who actually spent about 2 or 3 hours on the air with a friend of theirs who is a programmer. And they didn't say, oh, I'm running for the board, but they did identify themselves. It was clear who they were. They are running for the board. They were on the air for some 2 or 3 hours.
Oh,
now,
send me an unfair campaign practice sheet, and I'll look at it.
Okay. And was there any formal outreach to the LSC chairs to alert their committee chairs or secretaries to provide the list of people who've been attending meetings, or certainly who have attended at least enough meetings to make the 3-hour qualification?
There was supposed to be. It was on a checklist of things that I sent to the local election supervisor. I'm not so sure how much this was done. It was very informal, because it turns out that they, you know, there was this long list of things I gave people, probably too long. So I don't know. I don't know what was done at the individual stations, actually.
Okay, I don't know that there are many people who come to committee members' meetings who aren't also either financial donors or tally room volunteers or whatever the case is, because our committee meetings are not always such. Well, some committee meetings are actually great, but some are not always such fun places that people just flock to go there with no other connection to any other area of the station. But it would be useful, I think, to send that now, because those people who contributed their 3 hours are, in fact, entitled to vote, whether or not something somewhere along the line in terms of notifying, you know, the appropriate
right.
people. So I don't think it's too late to try to get that out. And there was one more thing. You mentioned that the programmer in Houston, I don't know the details of the circumstances, is going to be off, assuming the allegation is proven, that they would be off until December 15th? Why December 15th?
That's correct, because that's when the election process ends.
In Houston?
Everywhere, nationwide.
Aren't you certifying by the 1st?
Yes.
So why the 15th?
Because,
I mean, why the
according to the, because the election process ends December 15th to give us time to end the report, and I have the power to remove people until the end of the election process.
Hmm.
It depends how bad this was. I mean, I've got different input from this, but if this is really somebody who is attacking a person before they come on the air, it could be pretty serious. So I have to see and hear exactly what happened. I don't know that yet. I've just been given different inputs by different people. And so I have put a big if in there. If, in fact, this is exactly what happened, then the person will be off till December 15th. If it's not exactly what happened, then we'll look at it and come up with something different.
Okay, thanks.
Mary has
that's
the floor.
That's for now.
Okay, I'd like to make a comment, and then I have a couple of questions. This is about carts and a thumb drive. I hear people saying as if there's this resistance and people are stubborn. I got up at 3 this morning, so I could get ready to go and raise money this morning, the best I could do. And I have to tell you that it isn't an easy thing. People don't have the money. And I don't want to see corporate sponsorship after I listened to the head of KQED talking about elections are too expensive and too cumbersome. They can't make decisions quickly, which is why they're putting out ballots asking their members to vote away their right ever to vote again. After I heard that program, which I did the other night, I am passionate about keeping listener sponsorship. We are very behind in our fund drive, and there are reasons for that. It's not because listeners aren't listening, and that isn't always the reason. And I can tell you that if it was playing a card, between playing a cart or making a challenge match that I have asked for, and I'm on the verge of making it, I will not play that cart. I need that money. The cart can wait. Because if we don't have listener sponsorship and we start to have to get money from major donors or someplace else, the hell with elections and everything else, it's meaningless then. We want our democracy. We have to keep it listener-sponsored. So I want to make that comment, and people who haven't done it maybe think it doesn't mean anything, 1 minute here, 1 minute there. Come to the station and help raise money sometime. Maybe you will learn. And then my other question, my question is a couple of them, like, in the one case, we talked about station resources, and you said direct or indirect, but if I am a member of a Pacifica board, a governing board, whether it's local or national, I consider that my position, is it not some kind of a resource of the network, of the foundation, of the station? And how can it be that I can use my position to, which is a resource, the station pays, the network pays for these boards, and they are employees in a certain sense of the board. They're part of the foundation. They're not just people on the street. I don't see how they can use that as a way of endorsing people without being without using resources. I just fail to understand how that can be. That's one question. My second question is concerning call-ins. Let's say we had an example. Now, this is a hypothetical, so I'm using a name because it's a hypothetical. We have Dennis Bernstein, whom everybody knows. Now, he isn't resigning to run for the board, but supposing he did, and would it be fair to let a voice, or Amy Goodman, would it be fair for a person like that to call in, whether they said their name or not? We're talking about a man, I think everybody would say, well, no, that instinctively doesn't feel fair. And the fact to simply say life is unfair is not, with all due respect, an answer. Of course life is unfair, but are we not dedicated to make it as fair and equitable as we can? I mean, that's not a justification for behavior that perpetuates unfairness. I don't see how people with the Pacifica Mission can say that. Those are my questions.
Yeah, I don't know. People can keep repeating the same questions over and over again. We can go through a stack, and you can ask the same questions over and over again. I really feel I've answered those. I mean, when we're talking of people calling in, I told you what my answer is. I feel very uncomfortable with it. If you're asking if a staff member calls in and they recognize their voice, the Fair Campaign Pledge has nothing to do with staff talking. Dennis can be running.
I meant a former staff member, I'm saying. Supposing he had resigned and was now a candidate. That's my example.
And there are people who've led large movements who run. What are we to do? Say you can't say that you've led large movements? I mean, the fact is, people come into this process very unfair. I mean, it's even been raised to me, what happens if a person doesn't have any contacts at all within the Pacifica community and they're running? Isn't that unfair? Yeah, but that's because they don't have any contact within the Pacifica community. What happens if they have no contacts in the community at large? How do they get votes? Well, they're probably not going to get elected because they haven't done any community work. That's this process. But yes, if you say, when you're talking of indirect resource, that because the person is a person, they're a resource, in that sense, you know, we're almost paralyzed. I ruled, for example, when staff had a meeting with listeners outside the station that was not advertised by the station at all, that that was proper. That's called free speech. Are they a resource of the station? Well, they're also human beings, and when we talk of resources of the station, we're talking about the machines, we're talking about the airwaves, we're talking about people being endorsed on the airwaves by staff members. Those are the things that are unfair. But when we're talking off the station, yes, people say, I've done such and such, and that's called free speech. They've done such and such. Now, you can ask the question again. I'll give the same answer. I don't know how many times you want to ask the question. That's my answer. It's not going to change.
Okay, what about the other question?
Which one?
You're saying that. Okay, you're saying they're both the same. Okay. So, okay, well, then we will have to respectfully disagree, and I will try to get changes made in the procedure where this kind of thing would be addressed somehow. But thank you.
You're going to have to violate the Constitution, right?
That's not at all what
Members out of order?
Thank you.
We have spent 2 hours on a one-hour item and reached the completion of the stack as previously announced. However, a member, I believe, asked to be added at that during this discussion. So, Carolyn, if you still wish to speak, you have the floor.
No, I think that's all right. I think Les has answered my questions. I don't want to delay it any further. Thank you, though.
May we may we consider this agenda item now closed? Thank you very much, Mr. Radke, for participating in the call.
Thank you.
I do have another meeting, so I really need to finish this little piece tonight. Yet, so I will go. Sorry.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you very much. Proceeding with the agenda as initially proposed, the next item is the Public Elections Committee E-List, which was my motion to rescind the motion of July 16th, 2006. In which every member of the Elections Committee was made a moderator of the list. I'm moving to rescind because I believe this is a security problem in that any member can deliberately or accidentally remove all of the archived messages or otherwise make a mistake that makes the list unusable. Security practices are to try to have one person responsible so that if things go wrong, you know whose fault it was. So if this motion is rescinded by the required majority vote, since there was notice, I will immediately move a substitute resolution to handle moderation of the list. So I am moving that the previous motion that made all members of the list moderators be rescinded. Is there discussion on the motion?
Mary Berg.
Mary is on the stack. Is there someone else?
Carolyn.
Carolyn's on the stack. Next. Actually, I should first say, is there objection to the motion to rescind?
Not from me, no.
No, not from me.
Hearing no objection, there's no need for discussion. The motion is rescinded without objection. I'm now proposing this resolution. Resolved that the committee secretary shall be owner and moderator of the committee's internet listservs.
Okay.
Is there any objection to the substitute or to the replacement
term
motion?
Owner.
The question again?
I said I object to the term owner.
Okay. Let me explain that the term is used by the list provider, and the owner of the list is distinct from the moderator in having the authority to delete the list. That's the primary distinction between owner and moderator. Is the member proposing that the words owner and be stricken from the resolution?
I don't know. Maybe there's a better descriptive word. Those kind of property terms, you know, I don't like unless there really is some ownership.
Mm-hmm. Did I correctly interpret the member's objection?
I don't know.
As a motion to amend to strike the words owner and, so that the resolution would read, resolved that the committee secretary shall be moderator of the committee's internet listservs.
That sounds fine.
Point of information from Mary Berg.
Go ahead, Mary.
I understand the meaning of the term owner as it's used in listservs, and it's the term that's always used. There's nothing that you own. It's just that you're the one that has the responsibility for the list. And making sure that it doesn't violate laws and so forth. If we don't specify we have to specify somebody to be the owner, or how do we decide that? Because we have to state to the listservs, whether it's Google or Yahoo or Mailman or whoever it is, who the owner is.
Well, as
and
maker of the motion.
How do we resolve that? Because it doesn't mean owner in the sense that it sounds like to the member, but we have to do something. What do we do?
As maker of the motion, I'll point out that the sense of the motion will not be...
I'm sorry. Please... could the chair please repeat because...
As maker of the motion, I'll point out that the sense of the motion will not be substantially altered by passage of this amendment to strike the words owner and. So I'll ask if there is any objection to the amendment to strike the words owner and from the motion as proposed.
I Carolyn Burden here, if I may.
Go ahead, Carolyn.
I do think there might be a reason for leaving it in simply because of the way listservs are structured. The word doesn't have the same meaning that it would have outside of that context. So simply because that is the language of the listserv and carries with it the right to delete the list, I would ask Richard if he would reconsider and remove that objection. I do think it belongs in there.
All right. If that's a term of art used for that specific thing, then it doesn't offend me.
Term
okay.
of art? I like that, yes. Thank
the
you.
Motion to amend has been withdrawn. Is there any
uh-huh.
objection to the withdrawal of that motion to amend?
No.
Hearing no objection. Is there any objection to the motion as will be stated? Resolved that the committee secretary shall be owner and moderator of the committee's internet listservs.
Don White, just a question.
Don White is recognized.
This would mean, just for clarity, at the present time, Mary is our secretary, is that right?
That is correct.
And would this mean that Mary would moderate this? And the reason I raise the issue, not that I don't have confidence in her ability to do so, but I'm wondering, was it you, Terry, who set this up?
Let me expand a bit in my answer. Yes, I set up the list. This is particularly referring to the Google list. The motion does not propose moderation of the list, as moderation is generally considered.
That's my point of clarification. So, Mary has said several times that she's very busy, and I'm just wondering if she would prefer that you moderate the list instead of her.
The list is set up so that the members of this committee are not under moderation. Their posts appear immediately. And I don't expect a change to that.
Right.
And if there is a
right.
proposal for change, I would expect the secretary to bring that to this committee for review. The effect of this motion would be to remove moderator authority from everybody else on the list.
That's true, but I think it should be clear to the committee that this is not a moderated list.
It is.
The posting would appear instantly without any moderator. That clarifies my concern. So I'm not opposing this motion at all.
I'll ask again if there's any objection to the resolution as proposed. Hearing no objection, the motion carries.
I have a point of information.
Richard is recognized for a point of information.
I just want to, are there any kind of codes somebody has to have to moderate this thing?
Well,
passwords and so forth?
No, the current password of the user identified as moderator is their moderator password.
Okay, no, I just in case, you know, somebody else would have those available as a backup in case somebody's gone or something and something needs to be done.
No, if only the moderator has moderated authority and the moderator loses their password, then we have to go to Google and request their intervention. Or we hack the person's password. There was no objection. The motion carries. Let me take this opportunity to request that members use the Google list, which is publicly readable, rather than the prior list. There have been some incidents where the prior list has been used and messages not copied to the public list. I personally can't imagine why we would use the private list except to communicate private information, and the only private information I can imagine our group having is the conference code that we use on our public meetings. May we move to the next agenda item?
Yes, I would point of order. I would like to ask that we take up another motion out of order and change the agenda here.
The request is in order. What would you like to be considered next?
I would like to put the motion that was read to us, that some of you got late, the correction of the WBAI list for duplicates and non-members into the agenda at this point.
Okay. Is there objection to placing that item on the agenda next or immediately?
What's left on the agenda otherwise?
What's left on the agenda is report from the Subcommittee on Promoting Member Participation, the resolution of advice regarding the adjustment of election timelines, and the motion on address correction of the membership list.
What time do you plan to end?
When we're done with the agenda is when I plan to end. Is there no objection to considering the proposed item next?
Well, I have another point of information.
You're recognized for a point of information.
I thought I understood the election supervisor to say, the national election supervisor last week when he left, to say that all the lists had issues. So, again, I'm wondering why the focus on WBAI.
Actually, the question's out of order, but the member can object to changing the unapproved agenda for consideration of this item at this time.
Well, I object to it because I see no basis for targeting one station.
Okay, in that there has been an objection to the change,
which is to say, I object not merely to it being changed. I object to it being on the agenda. I think it's unfair and not informed. The national election.
Yeah, that objection will be in order when the item is on
okay.
the agenda.
Gotcha.
Ted, in your opinion, is discussion in order on an agenda item proposal? I don't hear anyone jumping up to comment. So, can we just take a vote on whether or not to approve the proposal to consider this item next? And Mary, can you read the roll on that?
Yeah. I'm sorry. To approve.
So this is a motion.
A change in the unapproved agenda to consider the item proposed next, and that was the item regarding WBAI.
Well, I did have an objection. I did say that.
Right. That can. Then you would vote no when the roll is taken.
Oh, I'm sorry. But that's where we're at. Silent there. Okay.
Are we ready for the roll then?
Yes. This is on the motion to consider this item next.
Yeah, to consider it next. Okay, Mary Berg, I vote yes. Carolyn Burden?
Yes.
Jane Gatewood? Jane Gatewood. I'll come back to you. Let's see. She might have muted. Terry?
I'll vote no.
Okay. Patty Heffley? Patty Heffley? Maybe she's muted. I'll come back to her. Melinda Eiley-Dohm? Woo. Everybody's muted. Okay. Serene Roberts? I'm sorry. Richard Phelps?
This is on Carolyn's motion to advance the agenda, that item, I'll vote yes.
You vote yes. All right. Serene Roberts?
Voting no.
I'm sorry?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Ted Weiskow. Ted Weiskow, are you there? He's muted. Okay, I'll come back to you. Don White?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, yes.
Vote yes. LaVarne Williams?
Yes.
Carol Wolf?
Yes.
All right, I'm coming back to Jane Gatewood. Are you present at this point? Hello, Jane?
Okay. Hello?
Oh, Jane?
Hello, Jane?
Yeah, how do you vote on that?
I'm abstaining.
Abstain. All right. And let's see, Patty Heffley, are you there? Patty? Patty Heffley. Okay. Melinda Eiley Doan, are you there?
I'm here, but I walked out of the room when you were doing that. I must confess, when
okay.
You what are we voting on?
You're voting on whether to take Carolyn's motion next as to the correction of the WBAI list for duplicates and non-members.
I'd vote yes.
All right, let's see. Ted Weiskow, are you with us? Ted? Ted? Ted Weiskow, unmute yourself. Well, I can't seem to get people. Patty Heffley, one last chance. Patty, are you there? Ted Weiskow, are you there? All right. We'll have to go without them, I guess. So, I have seven yes. Two no and one abstention.
The motion passes. We will consider the motion from Ms. Burden next. Can you read the motion and then motivate it?
Yes, the motion, I would like to change it, actually, in the light of what the National Supervisor has said, to correct all of the lists that have not been corrected, correction of station lists instead of WBAI lists. For duplicates and non-members. And the reason is that it is not too late to do this, and it certainly should be done. And in light of the extraordinary number of duplicates found at KPFA, I think it's really imperative that the list be cleaned up before the ballots are counted. So every place where WBAI appears, I think I would like to change the list to change the motion, rather, to read station list. And so with the first whereas, the is the correction of station lists, plural, for duplicates and non-members. Whereas the station member list, has never been audited for improperly included recipients of gift donations labeled as members. And whereas the four station member lists have never been corrected for duplicate entries. Therefore, it is resolved that the National Election Supervisor shall take steps to effectively audit the four unaudited member lists using pledge cards and the electronic database to, in the words of the PNB, quote, verify member database accuracy in compliance with the bylaws to ensure that the membership rolls meet the requirements of the bylaws, end quote. And it is further resolved that the ballots counted shall reflect the results of this verified member database. That is the
Point of information, the only change that I note is that you're substituting station for BAI. Is that correct?
I'm substituting the four unaudited station lists, plural. Or instead of the W by member, in the first whereas, it would say the four unaudited station member lists have never been audited, and so on throughout.
Carol Wolf on the staff?
Well, first of all,
the
we have to deal...
The motion hasn't been seconded. Oh, okay.
No second is required, but the chair is ruling the motion as stated out of order for as previously explained. it essentially specifies that some ballots will not be counted. That is under the discretion of the National Election Supervisor under the bylaws. A recommendation from the PMB that he rule in a certain manner would be in order in the motion.
That who rule?
The PMB can recommend to the National Election Supervisor that he not count some ballots. But it is the decision of the National Election Supervisor regarding counting of ballots. That's within his area of authority as defined in the bylaws. So I'm ruling the motion as stated out of order and open to appeal.
Well, I'd like to appeal the rule and get on the stack, if I may.
Don White here with a comment.
Carolyn is first.
I deliberately left the phrase shall reflect the results of this verified membership database to make it clear that the results had to be taken into account if at some point the supervisor decided to ignore the results. That would be a different matter. But I don't think that this phrasing, shall reflect the results, the ballots counted shall reflect the results, impinges on his authority. It does leave him some latitude, actually, to even ignore the results. At least that's what I meant the language to convey. Evidently it doesn't so clearly as I had thought. But that was my thought on that language. So I would like to leave it in with that understanding, unless it's really unclear, and then people can tell me that.
Well, it'll stay in if the appeal is successful. Don is recognized.
Well, I hesitate now to speak. What I was going to say is it seems as though this motion could be altered with very slight wording changes, and it might pass the test of the chair's questioning here. So I was just thinking just wondering what kind of wording would be, because clearly the intent here is to audit these and then hopefully have the results be more consistent with the bylaws and with the processes that we all are looking for here. So, I mean, I'll stand aside. I'll withdraw. I was going to make a substitute motion, but I'll withdraw and allow the appeal to the decision of the chair to go ahead.
I can possibly assist in making of the motion. If the wording was such along the lines of that the National Election Supervisor shall consider in deciding what ballots to count.
Okay.
Basically, that's the bottom line here. Because
yeah,
we
that
can't
would recognize the authority of the supervisor to make that decision and wouldn't impinge on it. You know, a directive for the national board that the supervisor consider the results of the audit in determining what votes to count. I would consider that an acceptable language.
Okay, a point of information, let's see.
Go ahead, Mary.
That you're saying that the supervisors shall the wording. Could you just repeat the first part of the wording?
Well, I'm suggesting that the maker consider rephrasing it to be, and that the National Election Supervisor shall consider the results of the audit in determining what ballots
okay.
count.
Okay.
In determining what ballots or deciding?
In determining what ballots to count.
All right. I will accept that language.
Okay, with that language accepted by the maker, is there any objection to allowing the maker to amend her motion? In that case, the ruling of the chair is suspended and the appeal is moot. Does the maker wish to continue motivating the motion?
Only that I think that it is absolutely crucial that all the station lists be treated alike and that we have equal confidence in all the lists. And at this point, I don't think that exists. As I say, I originally did this on BAI because I didn't know the extent of the problem at the other stations, and I still don't. But given that the supervisor has said it is not a large expense, it's a question of time, it's not a great effort, it's a clerical task, and it can be accomplished before the ballots are counted, I hope that people will consider how important it is to have a list that is reliable and that people can accept as reflecting the true state of the membership.
Thank you.
Don White on the stack.
First of all, Member Serene Roberts, I believe you wished to enter an objection to consideration. If you still wish to register that objection, you will be recognized.
Thanks. My objection was primarily to the fact that it was targeting BAI. That has been addressed by broadening it to all the other stations. I do have other concerns, but I'm not sure whether I can present them now or whether I'm required to get back on the stack to do that.
If it's not an objection to consideration, I'd prefer you to be on the stack after done.
It actually is.
But then you would be recognized at this point.
Thanks. Les was on the call earlier, and he said he actually had serious concerns about spending and felt that it was, he used the term unfair. I know that someone else responded by saying that they wouldn't be happy, but had objections to the sending out a ballot and then not counting it. So he has already, I think, expressed himself on this matter, so I'm not quite sure why we're revisiting it since we're talking about work that comes under his jurisdiction in terms of recognizing the ballot or not. I think he has already addressed it, and we shouldn't be using committee time to revisit it. He said the time to do that would be before the next election, which is 2007. So it's fine to get started on, you know, suggestions about how that's done, but I'm not sure we should be doing this now. Additionally, stations are either in Fund Drive now or will be in Fund Drive between now and when ballots are counted. So someone, in order to do this, needs to access the database. How is that not going to interfere with the work of the stations, which is literally our life's blood? So I think that the timing, even if we were to accept that this is a necessary thing, and I have no problems with it being considered, but I think the timing is most unfortunate, and the NES has already taken a position on this.
Point of order.
Ted is recognized for a point of order.
Yeah, on committees of this size, 12 or less is what I understand this to be right now, objecting to a consideration of a question is out of order. Any motion by anybody can be brought forward. What is appropriate is to move to table or postpone consideration, which is what it sounds like Serene wants to do, to a more appropriate time. And I would think that considering the lateness of the hour, as well, there ought to be, I think if she were to advance a motion along those lines, and she could postpone consideration and request that we discuss this at our next meeting or something along those lines.
Thank you, Ted. The chair concurs. Go ahead, Serene.
Thank you, Ted. That is essentially what I was asking. I'm saying we shouldn't be doing it now. So, yes, I would like to propose that we table it until our November, 19th meeting?
Yes.
Carolyn on the stack again, please.
Okay. Ted, is this a debatable motion?
I think it is, but to the merits of the postponement, not to the merits of the motion.
You are correct, I recall. Carolyn, do you wish to speak to the merits of the postponement?
Yes, I do. That effectively
then you are recognized.
Thank you. In terms of the time, it's either now or never. This issue is. It's very timely, and if we don't do it at this meeting, it would be something to do for 2007, but certainly this has to be decided immediately and sent to the supervisor, who can ignore it or do as he likes with it. It's clear that he's made his feeling known, but I do think that the necessity of fairness and treating all of this equally and giving especially the members of WBI the confidence that their ballots are not being diluted or diverted is very important at this point.
I have a point of information.
Don White on the stack.
Point of information.
Point of information is recognized.
Yeah. Do we have the authority to go directly to the National Election Supervisor, or do we report to the National Board?
Both are true. We have no authority over the National Election Supervisor.